Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Searching My Soul with Father Cole. We are in studio today with Father Cole Krakke. He is the pastor of the Tri-Parish Community of St. John the Baptist in Vermilion, St. Mary's in New Trier, and St. Matthias in Hampton. And we are so grateful that you have come in studio with us, because we are going to continue our conversation about some of the church's...
The changes, the adaptions... And I think, isn't that really kind of the word, is adapt and move forward and respond? I mean, a flexibility, right? Because I think just everything is changing in a way. And I was thinking today, whenever there's a huge pivotal event in our world, you know, for me, up until 9/11, the big event for me was the Space Shuttle Challenger exploding. I mean, how old was I? I was 11 or 12 years old when that happened. Teacher in space, that was a huge event that kind of impacted my childhood. And then it was 9/11. And now I really think... this is going to be the defining. This is so big, it's so worldwide, and it's going to cause such impact that this is going to be talked about like we talk about pandemics of the past. And so it's having an impact on every aspect of our lives. So let's kind of continue talking a little bit about the church's response. But before I do that, I did want to say, because I gave a little tease, St. Victor and Corona, and it's C-O-R-O-N-A, are two Christian martyrs. And most sources state that they were killed in Roman Syria during the reign of Marcus Aurelius, which was around the 170s AD. So there is a Saint Corona. So anyways, let's continue where we were last segment. So then the Archdiocese sent out a statement late last week, that basically said that until further notice, the Archbishop is suspending the faithful's Mass obligation on Sunday. So you know, as Catholics, and keeping with the commandments of keeping holy the Sabbath, the way we as Catholics are called to do that is to attend communal celebration of the Eucharist and actively and fully participate. So the Archbishop has now dispensed from that. Prior to that, you know, we were saying that if you are elderly, you're part of the vulnerable population, if you're sick, if you're caring for someone who is sick, your obligation is suspended. You don't have that obligation. As Christians, all Christians have an obligation to keep holy the Sabbath. That's the commandment. And so each Christian faith, tradition, or community interprets that differently. For Catholics, we say you go to Mass, unless you're sick, unless you're caretaking for someone who is sick. But in this case now, the bishop has said that all faithful are suspensed from it because of where we are with the spread of coronavirus. So with that being said, what I've heard in my experience this weekend was Mass attendance is probably down about half. The sad thing is you're still seeing a lot of elderly people who are the vulnerable people who probably should be staying away. And I don't want it to be offensive and say, like, I'm lecturing them, but I did tell a couple people and say, you know what, these provisions are in place to protect people like you in your community, you know, the vulnerable, the aged, and then those with those underlying conditions. So, but those are the same people, God bless them, that they'll drive in a blizzard to be to church if church is open. So in that announcement that the Sunday obligation is suspended, and remember, that is still in effect until further notice. The churches, though, are still open and are still celebrating masses, but it's now up to the individual pastor. So the Archbishop has given each individual pastor the authority to cancel their masses. And I think what's going to happen, in talking with some friends of mine, if the Archdiocese doesn't come out with a blanket decision today that kind of respects where we are with the state, right? The state has shut down restaurants and bars and gyms and movie theaters and all of this stuff to prevent people from congregating. We might need to look the same way too. And I can tell you, I'm taking this seriously, because at first you can sit there and say, oh, there's many reasons why you can dismiss it. All those reasons that it was easy to dismiss, I think a week or two has changed. As I'm reading more and more stories about people who have died from it, right? There's a police officer in New York, 57 years old. There's an ER doctor in Seattle, 40 years old, died. Or actually the doctor in Seattle, I believe, he's in intensive care. There's stories coming out of Rome that dozens of priests have died. I saw one story that said at least 7 or 8 from one village. And then I saw some reporting that said it's actually dozens. I think in Rome, in Italy, the situation is so bad, I don't think they know who has died yet, because so many people are dying. And so that was what I said to people at Daily Mass yesterday. I said, why would we think we're going to be different than Italy? We're about 3 weeks behind. If we don't take the precautions now, we could be like that. And then,
because Italy really didn't take precautions, weren't they more reactionary?
Well, they didn't, you know. So here's the thing too, is I don't want to get political, but you know, there was the border shut down, you know, with people coming from Wuhan early. Italy didn't do that. And so when you look at where the virus spread, it actually spread to Italy directly from China, and they can kind of trace that, it sounds like. So that very well could have been here, right? It just so happened that it was unfortunate that that person who was infected went to Italy and spread it up there in the northern region. And then, of course, in northern Italy, we've heard that it's an elderly, it's an exceptionally elderly population. And so we know that the elderly are more vulnerable, so it would make sense that in an area where you have a higher average age, that your fatalities are probably going to be higher.
And I know you've done a lot of reading on this and just learning about it. Can you explain that curve that people are talking about?
Yeah, when they talk about the flattening the curve, right? So the whole issue is most experts from what I've read are saying that at some point up to 80% of your population is going to be exposed and contract it.
So say that again, because that is a frightening number.
Up to 70 to 80% of the population at some point in the next year are going to get it. The issue is you want to flatten that curve. You don't want everyone to get it all at once because then it overwhelms the healthcare system, right? So when they talk about flattening the curve, the more social isolation we do it, and I would say masses are included in that, right? Because you have a you have an older population, larger, that come and attend masses. You want to keep them out of the hospitals. And so if you can just slow the outbreak where it can be, rather than 100,000, Mayor de Blasio was kind of, at a press conference I was watching, was kind of talking about it. You can still sit there and say, hey, in New York City, you might have 200,000 people that need to be hospitalized over the next 6 months. Would you rather have 200,000 hospitalized in the span of 1 month? Or would you rather have, you know, 120,000 exposed a month over the next 6 months or whatever, however the math works out? That's what the flattening of the curve is. And then the hope would be in that meantime, we start to get vaccinations, we start to get antivirals that can actually treat that. They're calling those therapeutics and vaccines. So that's the whole point, is spreading this down. In Italy, it's too late. Iran, it's too late. China, I don't even pay attention to China because I don't think you can believe anything that's coming out of China with what's happening there. So I digressed a little bit about that, but that's what these distancing and trying to prevent community spread.
So social distancing is a term we really had never heard of until just a couple of weeks
ago. Unless you're
an
introvert and then you love social distancing, right? There's some people who are like, yes, this is my time to shine. This is what I've been preparing for, right? Social distancing.
Yes, I know quite a few. One right. might be in my family.
Right. So let me kind of finish getting back a little bit about the so with the dispensation of the
Mass.
Obligation of the faithful, right? The Archbishop also asked that tomorrow, so Wednesday, I know this is live, but I don't know if the show's going to be repeated, but we're talking tomorrow, Wednesday, March
18th
is a day of prayer and fasting. So basically he's asking Catholics who are physically able to earn, who are bound to the normal Ash Wednesday and Good Friday fast, would also engage in that tomorrow. And it's sandwiched between today, which is St. Patrick's Day, and Thursday, which is St. Joseph's Day. So saying, hey, celebrate St. Patrick's Day, celebrate St. Joseph's Day, but in between, let's basically practice a little bit of corporal mortification, a little bit self-denial. Let's fast, let's pray, let's kind of remind ourselves of the situation that we're in.
So that is something that came up from Archbishop Hebda.
Mm-hmm. And each bishop is doing it differently. There's some bishops, there's a bishop down in Tyler, Texas, who's asking all priests to do a Eucharistic procession around their parish, and every place is kind of adapting. You know, there are some parishes who are priests in, you know, thinking outside the box, who are kind of doing drive-through confessions. You know, they'll set up in the church parking lot and they'll sit on a chair and there'll be a line and the car will pull up and they'll be 5 feet apart. But as long as there's only one person in the car, you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be able to, you know, touch them. You can still, you know, celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation that way. So there's a lot of, I saw a funny picture on the internet of these parishes that are doing masses without the faithful. The priests are still in there doing masses. And there was one priest who had asked all the families to send him a picture of their family. And he actually printed them out and pasted them on the pews. And so as he's out there, as he's like
How
doing
sweet.
The mass, he's like literally seeing. And then he did a selfie with like all these faces.
His congregation.
Right.
How sweet.
Which that's kind of, I mean, when you think about it, it's like, wow, that's a really, you know, that's kind of that's a good idea,
it's
right?
It's a great idea.
I have a friend in the Diocese of Brooklyn, New York, who is live streaming his personal masses on Facebook every day. And he's still continuing with the parish mass intentions. Because in many places in this country, masses are shut down, period. All masses are shut down. Weddings are shut down. Funerals are shut down. And so that is coming here. I mean, I always say, why would we think that we in the Archdiocese of St. Paul are going to be any different? If it's happening in in Madison, Wisconsin, and Santa Fe, and San Diego, and Washington, D.C., why would we think it's not going to happen here? So I'm telling people to prepare, because I think pretty soon our churches are unfortunately probably going to be closed. And the thing is we don't know when they close, when we're going to be opening again. You know, people are throwing this date of the 27th.
March 27th.
March 27th.
I know. What is that?
I don't know.
It seems so arbitrary.
When you have the experts saying that we're not going to hit peak at the earliest until mid to end of May, I don't get it. But anyways, again, I'm not the expert. I think maybe it's a little bit of wishful thinking and maybe to provide hope for people.
Or maybe reassess.
In Italy, I mean, they're stuck in their houses for 30 days. Stuck. You leave your house to go to the grocery store and go to the pharmacy, and you can go and walk the dog, but you have to maintain social distancing, basically. You can go out for walks, but you got to avoid crowds. And so that's happening in a rather, I mean, I don't think anyone would look at Italy and sit there and say it's a third world country, right? And it's happening in France, and it's happening in Spain, and it's starting to happen in England. So just prepare, take this seriously. So on Sunday, later in the week, some more guidelines came out, basically saying that the Archdiocese recommends that hymnals be taken from the pews, any loose papers, anything that theoretically, they're saying now the coronavirus can live for X number of hours on surfaces, right? And it depends on the surface. So soft surfaces, some pews are soft surfaces, right? Some are hard surfaces like wood. So they recommended that you take out all of the hymnals and all the loose papers, and you wipe down all of the pews, and you basically sanitize them between masses, right? Well, that's kind of labor intensive, and that's a lot of work. We've got great volunteers who do that. But that's assuming also you have the cleaning supplies. You know, sometimes they might not have enough
and
of the cleaning supplies.
And the time in between masses to do that.
Right? They also recommended that choirs be suspended, because choirs, by nature of a choir, you are in close proximity.
Yep.
So the recommendation would be that you would just basically have a single cantor and a musician. And then also that you don't pass the collection basket, that maybe someone stands with a basket as people are leaving the church, and you can drop your collection basket on your way out so people aren't, you know, passing a communal collection basket. And then, of course, there was the, you know, that you, that unnecessary gatherings be suspended. So that's why a lot of parishes are, you know, canceling their pancake breakfasts, their sausage suppers, anything like that. Because I think now, actually,
what about Stations of the Cross?
The civil law. That's one thing I don't know, and it might be interesting for you to track down. I know you've got some contacts to some lawyers, but
yes,
that might be an interesting segment to sit there and say, when there's an emergency peacetime declaration, what does that mean? Does that have the force of law? Can you be arrested if you leave your house?
Do you override, does the
You know, there's a lot of
church.
Talk that says that the amendment and the right of practice of religious freedom, that there's a lot of people that sit there and say that civil authorities don't have the legal authority to shut down churches. And of course, that's never been tested in this country, because why would it be, right? But I would be one that would say, if the civil law is saying, and the civil law being the governor saying, I'm shutting down all restaurants to take out and carry out, well, maybe we shouldn't be having our fish fry on Friday night. Sorry, I know a lot of people like to fish fry, but let's just use common sense here. So I know pancake breakfast and all that stuff, donut Sundays. Some parishes, they've actually cleaned out their drinking fountains, and they've put plastic bags over them so people don't use them, because they don't want people touching them. You know, all those surfaces that people are touching on a repeated basis, they just want to minimize that. The good thing we know is that coronavirus is not the only virus out there right now, right? You've got influenza, and you've got the common cold, and that there's a lot of research that says that less people will get the influenza and will get common colds because of the precautions that we're taking because of the coronavirus.
So that is a piece of good news.
It is a piece of good news in a sense, right? And interestingly enough, they say influenza is far more damaging to the young, you know, to the younger population. There's actually been, you know, a couple hundred fatalities, I believe, in this country of children from the flu this season. There's been no, I don't know worldwide yet, of any reporting of any any child or even any teen actually dying from coronavirus. And there's some epidemiologists who said, you know, this is a new virus. We're trying to figure it out ourselves. Like, we don't understand why it impacts some people more than others. And I'm just going to say personally, you know, as a type 1 diabetic, you have a compromised immune system. I don't want to put myself unnecessarily in a situation where either I'm going to contract it and then have to be hospitalized or treated. I don't want to be taking up a hospital bed that unnecessarily, right? But also, I don't want to be a catalyst. I've been in a lot of crowds. I celebrate a lot of masses. I've been in hospitals and nursing homes. Not anymore this week. That stopped. That stopped. Those visits stopped. But the week prior, I was in two nursing homes and two hospitals. And you don't want to get it yourself, but you don't want to be spreading it.
Well, good advice. And I'm sure there's more to come.
Yeah, I quite honestly, from what I hear from the Archdiocese, you know, what I'm hearing from the Archdiocese is that they're having a meeting today with the College of Consultors and the Presbyteral Council. The Archbishop is looking for guidance from them, from the pastors, to say, you know, what should we do? My feeling and my impact is that we kind of have to follow where the rest of the society is going, and that is basically implying social, you know, social distancing and avoiding those crowds. I mean, I believe, what is the current benchmark now? 10? They're saying
10
avoid
people.
10 or more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's anything. I mean, you know, that's anywhere. So it's all about and one thing I did say that this might be a little bit helpful, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have already maybe have heard it, but this Dr. Birx, who is she's phenomenal. I watch the coronavirus briefing every day. The White House has that briefing, and her and Dr. Anthony Fauci are very, very good with getting like the latest news out. And she said that what we had learned originally from China and Korea was initially that if someone in the household contracts coronavirus, you know, you isolate that person. Maybe you find a room for them that has a bathroom and that they basically eat their meals in there. But for the most part, the business of everyone else in the house goes on as normal. Now they're saying, actually, that's not good advice. They're saying now if anyone in the house contracts coronavirus, the entire household should be quarantined for those 14 days because this is so spreadable that even despite precautions that you take, it's still getting spread because it can be in the air, it can be on surfaces. So that's something that they're saying that they learn, and that's where, you know, how it's all ever evolving. That's something that's changed in the course of a week.
Right.
In the course of a week, they said, hey, you know, self-isolation, not so bad. Now they're saying if one person gets it, the whole household needs to be quarantined. I guess that's the grace for me. I live alone, except for Stormy, and they say dogs can't spread coronavirus. So that's good. But no, you think about things like that. You know, mm-hmm. What would you do if you lived in a house with six people? I think about priest friends who live in rectories with four or five others. If one of them contracts coronavirus, the guidelines are that they are all out of commission for 2 weeks at least. Because you don't want the priests going out there and spreading it.
No.
You don't want the doctors spreading it. You don't want the healthcare workers. You don't want the teachers. You don't want anyone spreading it. That's why it's so important to take this seriously.
So Wednesday the 18th is a day of fasting.
Day of prayer, yep.
Specifically for coronavirus.
So basically, in a sense, to make it simple, the Archbishop would say, Catholics who are physically able to treat tomorrow as if it was an Ash Wednesday or a Good Friday.
Great advice.
And practice all those penitential.
Good.
And also, I want to sit there and say, too, just because you're not going to Mass on Sunday, you might be relieved of your obligation, doesn't mean we don't still need to be, you know, praying, maybe tune in, watch a Mass on TV, getting your family together to read Scripture, something. We still need to be keeping Sundays holy.
Thank you so much. Father Cole Kroeke, we appreciate you coming in today. Searching My Soul is heard on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.